story about the 12 spies. The children of Israel had spent almost a year at Mount Sinai, where God had made his covenant with them. It was here that he had given them detailed instructions as to how they were to live as his covenant people. Here, too, they had built a portable tabernacle and its furnishings. On the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud symbolizes God's presence began to move. This was God's signal that they were to leave Mount Sinai. According to the accounts in Numbers and Deuteronomy, Israel traveled east and north till they came to an oasis around 50 miles south of Beersheba, known as Kadesh Barnea. One of three springs in the oasis is specifically associated with Kadesh and Barnea. Now we are going to find out about the spies that Moses had sent out. Moses instructed the 12 men, one from each tribe, to make a reconnaissance tour of the land of Canaan. In other words, reconnaissance means go out and look the country over. What you find in the book of Numbers, 14th chapter, and it indicates that the inhabitants of Canaan knew about God's mighty act of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. They also knew that God had promised to give the land of Canaan to his people, but the various peoples of Canaan were not about to give up their land to the invader. The spies seem to have gone to Canaan via a roundabout way. They probably took the caravan trail eastward to the ancient trade route known as the King's Highway. This ran along the east side of the Dead Sea and the Jordan Valley from Ezion Geber on the Gulf of Aqaba to the busy trade center of Damascus. The spies probably entered Canaan somewhere in the area of Dan, which lies just a bit south of the entering of Hamath, as the long, exuberantly fertile valley between the Lebanon and the Anti-Lebanon is known. From Dan, they could leisurely explore the land of Canaan. Now, the road to Zebulun from the north passes through a beautiful valley with slopes ideally suited to the growing of grapes. The grapes of this area are elaborated for their excellence. Some bunches have been found to weigh up to about 12 pounds a bunch. Other fruits, such as pomegranates, figs, also grow well there. The spies picked samples of the various fruits to show Moses and the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea. They gave a favorable report on the fertility of the land, but 10 of the spies stressed that the people of Israel were too weak to take the land from its present inhabitants. Even though Caleb reminded the people of God's promise, the people turned against Moses and Aaron. Although God first wanted to destroy the people, Moses pleaded with him. In the end, God said that everyone 20 years and older could not enter the promised land. For 40 years, the people would wander in the wilderness till all of these had died. When the people heard God's verdict, they decided to take matters into their own hands and fight those living in the south of Palestine. A force went out to fight, but the king of Arad and his soldiers decisively defeated them. The term Horma may be a place name. It means destruction and may also describe Israel's utter defeat. After this experience, Israel knew that God meant what he had said. For many years, they lived mainly in the area of Kadesh Barnea. Now we're going to hear about Korah's rebellion, the rebellion of Korah, a Levite, and Dathan, and Abiram of the tribe of Reuben, probably took place in the earlier years of the people's stay at Kadesh Barnea. Associated with these were 250 of the leading men of Israel. They were probably members of the council, which administered the affairs of the people under the guidance and supervision of Moses. Korah felt that he should at least be equal with Aaron, the high priest. Dathan and Abiram probably felt that the leadership of Israel should be held by members of the tribe of Reuben, Jacob's firstborn. All resented the important role which Moses and Aaron played, even though they had been selected for their respective roles by God himself. Moses instructed Korah and his followers to come with censers for the burning at the tabernacle. They came the next day, seemingly accompanied by the people of Israel. When God wanted to destroy them all, Moses and Aaron pleaded for them. Then God, through Moses, warned the people to get away from the tents of these three ringleaders. At the sign that Moses and Aaron had been chosen by him, God had the earth swallow them and their families. The 250 men were killed by fire. Yet the next day, the people had the gall to accuse Moses and Aaron of murdering these people. Now, as we are learning about this story today, I'm going to show you some slides of the story, and then we're going to have some little questions and answers afterwards. Now, the problem that these people found over there was unbelief. They did not trust Jesus. So we are going to learn today just what it was that transpired on this trip that these here spies ever took. And then maybe we will have time to go into the other part of the story. We don't know just how long it will take, but we will do the best we can to get through with it. When the children of Israel were afraid, which led them into all kinds of other sins, which was murmuring and fighting among themselves, they were thinking only of the strong, tall enemies that the spies reported. This was a sin. Why? They forgot all about God. This is the real problem with fear. This is why being afraid is often a sin. When a problem seems too much for us to overcome, and we are afraid of it, we should ask ourselves whether we have forgotten to look to God. We read in the Bible, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, which is in Psalms 46. But when we are afraid, it is often because we are seeing only the strong, tall enemy, as the Israelites did. And we are forgetting all about God and his almighty power and strength. This is a sin and can lead us into other sins, such as murmuring, complaining, fighting among ourselves, and all the other things that lead to come back. God has promised to be with us, to help us, and to guard us, and to lead us. When we are afraid of things, it is as though we tell God, I don't believe you. These things I am afraid of are stronger. Are you stronger than you are? We should all be ready to repent of our sins of fear instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, as we so often do when we are afraid. We should turn back to God and say, I am sorry, Lord, I have forgotten once more to keep looking to you for strength. Even though Jesus faced many terrible things, such as the suffering and dying on the cross, he was never afraid. We learn that he constantly prayed to his Heavenly Father and trusted him. That's what we must do. We must pray for forgiveness and strength. It is answered by God in a merciful and wonderful way for the sake of Jesus our Savior. God does not forgive us, and in that forgiveness he also gives his own strength to face the strong, tall enemies in our life. How wonderful it is to learn that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear.